What I felt God lay on my heart this morning was a topic that in some ways is very simple, but some ways is very profound as well. And that's that God has a path of life that he wants us to walk on. And I was thinking about what life is, and to sort of boil it down into a nutshell, it's just a series of events, a series of things that we make choices as to what we're going to do. And I believe what God wants is to us to always, in every step of our life, to make him the choice that we make, his path. Pick that up in our life and run with that, rather than just continually doing the things that we want to do in ourselves. We have a nature inside of us that the Bible calls the flesh that really almost demands that we choose its way to walk. And it is a battle to choose God's way instead. He's given us lots of helps to be able to do that, and we need to draw on them every day of our lives. But we must make it our clear intention to seek the path that God has for us and to walk on it and to make the choices he wants us to make as we walk on that path. Because in that way, we can actually be achieving what it is that we're created to do. I sat down when I was doing my sermon preparation, I sort of thought, well, what's the purpose of life? And I felt that in a nutshell, the purpose of life is to find God's path, get on it, and walk it to its end, making those choices that he wants us to make every step of the way. It's a simple thing, but it's so, so true. How do we get on the path? Well, there's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. He's the gateway to that path. And he's not just the gateway, he's the actual way that we can actually receive the life of God into ourselves. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes and makes us into something different. We're not an ordinary human being anymore. We're a human being with the Spirit of God living inside of us. And that is an amazing change. And that actually enables us as human beings to be able to engage with God's path, to be able to engage with his plans and purposes. Because outside of Christ, that's absolutely impossible. We may be able to brush against it. We may be able to have some connection with it, but we won't be able to flow in it, flow in the life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And without him, we can't actually receive the life of God to be able to walk that path of life that God has for us. So we need to seek him. If any of you don't know him yet, the important thing in life, the most important thing you can do is to find him. Understand what he's done for you and then engage with him. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. And get on that path of life that God has for you as an individual. King David worked out that God knew him before the beginning of all creation. He wrote all of his days in a book of life. And the same is true for each one of us. God knows us. He knows what we're going to go through. He knows how to meet with us and how to draw us onto that path. But he makes it our decision as to whether we accept or not. And we need to be, I believe, not just accepting, getting onto that path and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to be accepting his choices for our life every step of the way. Saying, Lord, if you're going to truly be my Lord, then I have to say yes to you when you ask me to do something for you. When you prompt me to do something, it's not an option. This is for life. This is to flow in the life of God. This is how to make a real, to get into the purpose that God actually created us for. And it's so important to do it. I've, in my own life, lived a great chunk of it searching for something, trying to work out what it is that I'm supposed to do in life. This is before I met the Lord. And I went from one thing to another. Not many good things in all of that. Struggled with drugs a little bit. Certainly wasn't very good in terms of my sexual behavior. And I thought these were the answers to life. I thought this is what life was all about. I could really enjoy myself and have a good time. I was studying to be a dentist, so I knew at some point in my life I was going to have probably a fair amount of money as well, so I could do all the things I wanted to do. And yet I knew there was a hollowness to it. There was no real value to it in terms of eternity. It was just something, me living for now, me living according to the flesh. And when God actually spoke to me one time, I was invited along to a church service, and he said, this is your chance to turn your life around. This is a chance for it to make sense. This is a chance for you to engage for the very reason I created you. And I accepted him, and from that moment on, I knew that all the other things that I was doing were a complete waste of time. There was no value to them at all. Without Christ Jesus, I realized I could do nothing that was of real value, and that I didn't really know what life was about, because I had no life in me apart from what I generated for myself. I thought that was good. But when I realized what God had to offer, I realized it was rubbish. And I think what I've realized now is that it is so easy to fall back into a way of life that's just relying again on that flesh. The enemy almost dresses up that way of life as is going to be the best thing for you. You look at some of the things around you and you think, I want that. I want to live like that person who's able to seemingly do whatever they want because they've got so much money. Fancy cars, big houses. What God said to me is, what are they going to do with that when they get to the end of their life? Is it going to mean anything at all? I realized, no, nothing. What actually counts, the only things that count, are the things that we do for God. We take those with us forever. When we're judged, we stand before the King of Glory and he looks at everything we've done and he goes, the ones that I initiated, the things that I got you to do, the things you did for me, these are the things that I'll reward you for. All the other things are going to fall away. So what are we going to do with our path of life that God gives us? Live for ourselves? Do the things that we feel are important? Seek out God. Find out what he wants us to do. To put him first and to follow his path to the very end, knowing that there's going to be a glorious inheritance there when we get to that end. So how do we walk the path? There's some very simple ways. The first one is to submit to our head, Christ Jesus. We are no longer the head of our life. He is. We need to be seeking him, spending time in his presence. My daily prayer every morning is, Lord, be Lord of my life once again. Forgive me for my sins and the fact that I've strayed and gone my own way. And fill me with your precious spirit, Lord, because without that, I can't serve you in the way that I know I should. And then show me what to do today, Lord. Prompt me and guide me. It's my daily prayer, and I would encourage you all to have a similar prayer to pray, because every day we should be giving our life back into his hands and saying, Lord, help me because I can't do this on my own. Give me the strength, give me the guidance, lead me and take me on in the way I should go. Another thing that's so important, and I know there are a lot of things in life that will compete with this, but it's to read the Word of God, to study it, to meditate on it, and let the Holy Spirit speak to us through it. Because that is one of the key ways that God is going to take us forward in life. And without actually understanding what that Bible says, I think what we'll end up doing is making up a lot of the rules ourselves. How we hear from God is, I believe, is helped so much by how we understand the Bible. If we know it inside out, then when God speaks to us, we know God's voice. We can hear it in our hearts, and we know that it's God saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," because it's in line with what the scriptures are saying. So we've got to get our head into that. We've got to spend time really delving into the scriptures and allowing those scriptures to change our hearts and minds. Another really key thing is to rely on the Holy Spirit in our life. So often we feel that we can do it on our own. And what I've found is that I can't. We were called to go into the middle of nowhere to live when we came across to Wales, little village called Bronant. And I said to the Lord, "Why? Why are you calling me to go here? It's a long way away from everything." Oh, here's my poor wife who's probably stressed to the eyeballs now. She was trying to get my sermon for me and she couldn't get in because I've got the keys in my pocket. There we are. But what I realized was that if I try and do things in my own strength in that village of Bronant, I'm not going to make much impact. Those people think they know something of God, many of them anyway. They're not interested in what God has to say to them particularly, and they're certainly not interested in what I have to say about God. But when the Holy Spirit uses you and gives you something to do, it's amazing how it changes the hearts of the people around you, not just to you, but to God as well. In our village, he told us to go to the pub, which I know some people go, "What? Go to the pub?" But that's how we met probably half of the village and got to know them. We didn't go to drink particularly, although I do drink, but not a lot. We went to meet them. We went to find out where they're at and what they need in their life. And I believe one day all of those contacts that we've made will be a time where we can actually minister the gospel. And I believe that village is going to turn to the Lord. Not because of me, but because of God. He loves them and he wants their best, and he will use me by his Holy Spirit and will use the other Christians in town to change that village into what he wants it to be. A village that serves him and loves him. That's what they need. They may not see it yet, but God knows how to reach them, and I just want to be there available for whatever he wants to do. Holy Spirit's essential. And if we're in the fight against our flesh, if we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, his promptings. One of the verses I had in my notes was that we've got to get in step with the Spirit and walk as he does. And that in step is walking behind a leader. The Holy Spirit should be our leader, and we should follow behind him and do the things he's asking us to do, knowing that everything we need will be there to empower us and enable us to be able to serve the living God in whatever way he asks us to serve him. The life that he gives us enables us to live the life that God wants us to live. Without him, we can do nothing. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I in you, you'll be fruitful. And without me, you can do nothing." And I believe what he's talking about there is that without the Holy Spirit that I'm going to give to you, you can't achieve anything. You're reliant on us. You've got to draw the life that we have to offer. And then you can do something, because the life of God is flowing in you and through you and out of you, achieving the plans and purposes of God. Another thing we need on this path is each other. I believe that when I'm walking on the path of God and you're walking on the path of God, when we actually intersect, when those paths intersect, it's times where God's saying, you need those people with you to be able to walk this path of life that I'm putting before you. You can't do it. Even it's almost like I've got a certain skill set, you've got a certain skill set, and it's only when those two skill sets intersect and join with each other that we can actually go forward in the way that God wants us to. It's so important that we're there for each other. It's so important to look for help from each other, to be mentored when we need to be mentored. It's not good enough just to be an isolated Christian and feel that's good enough, I can do this on my own. We can do a lot just with God, but we do need each other. I had a picture a couple of weeks ago in the service here of someone reaching out their hand. And it wasn't reaching out to God, this hand, and maybe it should have been, God first. But this hand was reaching out to people around it. And it reached for a long, long time, but nobody grabbed a hold of it. Nobody lifted them up because they were falling, or they'd fallen. And in the end, they withdrew their hand and went, it's really sad, nobody helped me. Why didn't anybody help me? And they looked to God instead, and God gave them the help. And what God said to me was, there's two sadnesses here. One, the person gets a bit disillusioned with the people around them. Why didn't they help me? And second, the person that was supposed to help them was being prompted and they didn't listen. And so they really missed out on an easy win with God. He was prompting them to do something. When you do the things that God prompts you to do, you're actually achieving something for God. It's going to hold an eternal reward. And they missed it. And what God said to me is, don't miss out on these opportunities. Look for them. When your life intersects with someone else, look for the opportunities God is giving you within it. What God said also was, it's not a sin to help absolutely everybody you possibly can, but it is a sin to avoid the prompts that I give to help someone. So look out for them. And if you've missed that opportunity at some point or another, ask God to forgive you, forgive yourself, and try and do better next time. Because for me, there are people in this church that do need us to reach out to them and help them. And there are people in the communities out there that are in the same place. They need us to reach out to help them. The hand will only be out for a time, to us anyway. God would probably still be able to do whatever he needs because God says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he will be there for us in the ways that we need. But I believe that in right throughout history, he's chosen to use human beings to be his hands. So we need to be ready to do that if that's what he's asking of us. Sometimes on the path of life, we've got to take a leap of faith. Indiana Jones, when he was in the last crusade, had to jump off a cliff as a leap of faith, and there was a bridge underneath, but he didn't see it, so it was a leap of faith. I don't believe the faith that we're supposed to engage in is the same. We're not supposed to be leaping off cliffs and hoping that God will lift us up and carry us forward. Well, if he asks us to, I'd be very, very surprised. He might ask you to, but I don't think so. What he does ask of us is to trust him when we're a little bit out of our comfort zone, when he asks us to do something, that he will come and give us all we need to be able to achieve that plan that he has for us. That's a leap of faith sometimes. It's not always walking on water, this leap of faith. It's more, I don't think I can do that, Lord. But if you're telling me, I trust you. Just equip me with whatever I need and I will go and do the things you're asking of me. Leap of faith like that is what takes us forward in our walk with God. Instead of staying static, we're actually moving out of our comfort zone and moving onto a new level in him. And that's an absolutely amazing thing to be able to do. We should be growing in God. We should never be static. I'm just trying to remember all my points, so do forgive me if my brain's rattling around very quickly. On the path of life, it's not always going to be easy. God shapes us as we go. He's the master potter. We are the clay. And he shapes us ready for the next steps that are to come on that pathway. A potter shapes a clay piece and then he sticks it in an oven and heats it up and puts glaze on it once it's all baked. And sometimes I think life throws some pretty heated situations at us as well. And it's not a bad thing that we need to avoid, because what we need to be doing is be made fit for purpose, made ready for the next step that's to come. And that means we may be mushed up a bit at times, go through some trials and some difficulties, and have to really rely on the Lord to get us through. And when we do that, he shapes us into something that's better. Trials aren't things to be avoided if they're God-given. They're things to be embraced and to be learnt from and to grow in. And in that way, we can become those men and women God wants us to be, shaped, fit for purpose. And one of the scriptures that really spoke to me as I was preparing was the one about us being God's children, heirs of Christ. And he says, provided we suffer with him. Provided we suffer with him. And I sat down and I thought about that. And Jesus said, well, the Lord said to me, it wasn't easy for me on this earth. I had to really rely on God as much as I possibly could. I am God, but I was relying on the Spirit of God in me to get me through every step of the way. I had to suffer. My purpose was linked to suffering, and I knew it was right from the very beginning. And he said, if you want to be an heir with me, then suffering is probably going to be part of your walk at some point. The flesh won't like it. In fact, the flesh will say, no, thank you very much. But if we want to grow in God, if we want to walk the path God has for us, if we do the things that God is asking us to do, then I would be very surprised if at some point you don't have suffering. I don't mean suffering with illness. I mean suffering in terms of rejection from the people around you. Suffering in terms of trying to make things work that you know God wants, and it's hard. He may want you to fast. He may want you to pray for a long, long time into something and grab a hold of that thing until you see it come to completion. And it's hard. Our flesh doesn't like it. But it's the best thing we could possibly do. It gets us ready for eternity and gives us reward in eternity. It's amazing truth. But when you read the scriptures, you'll see suffering is part of our walk. And if you haven't got it, then I think maybe you've got a long way to go. I know in my own life that one day death is going to be swallowed up by life. I'm going to have a new body that actually will remember to bring his sermon notes when I go to church and I'm preaching. I spent 3 days preparing them. But I know that my focus isn't necessarily on that, but like Paul, I'm looking forward to the day when I can give this body up. It's not the best nowadays. Pension age next year. And what I realized was every step that I take that I do for God, one of the elementary teachings of Christ is a teaching of repentance from dead works in Hebrews 6, verse 1. And I always used to think, well, what's a dead work? And a dead work is, as far as I can understand, a work that's without life in it. So anything that we do that's without life, without the life of God in it, isn't worth doing. Much of life will be taken up with just doing mundane things, but what I believe is that God sometimes just breaks in and says, here's something I want you to do now. And if you do that, it'll have the life of God in it. It will be a good work, which is what the scripture talks about. So let's engage with good works rather than dead works. Let's find out what it is that God has for us. Because what he says in the scriptures is at the end, he is going to judge our deeds on this earth, even as Christians. And all the good works will be rewarded. So it's worth it. We have an incredible eternity ahead of us. Let's make the best of what we have here in preparation for that eternity. Let's make the best use of our time. Let's give him all of ourselves every day. Use me, Lord. And let's make that difference, walking on the path of life that God wants us to, being shaped and made ready, and achieving fruitful things for God, things that will make a difference in our life and in the lives of other people. Let's pray. Father, I feel pretty stupid forgetting my notes. But Lord, I pray that even though I have, that you will just still speak something of what I prepared into the hearts and lives of the people here. And Lord, help me to live in the good of what I preach as well. And all of us to be prepared to put in selfless, God-honoring choices in our life that are full of faith, full of the Spirit, and fruitful for you as a result. So we give that into your hand, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.